pray you just bless us. And yes. I think, Lord, I pray that you just take what I've been gleaning and what I've been learning over the past few weeks and what I have to share this morning. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you just bring clarity and any correction as well as I share this morning from your word. Thank you, Jesus. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at Romans 5. So if you have your Bible, your phones or whatever, it's going to really be from speaking from Romans 5 verses 1 to 5. And in our house, we have these set of keys, which were given to us by these two lovely people here a few Christmases ago. And I was thinking about Mike's talk about standing a few weeks back and Jen's talk last week about grace. And I've been pondering that and looking at these keys, thinking, there's something in this. So hopefully this visual will connect to what it's saying in Romans 5 about justification and his grace, his faith and his peace. Now, I know Jesus, we all know this, that he's the Prince of Peace. He's a wonderful counsellor. This is from Isaiah 9. But it doesn't say he's the Prince of Joy, Prince of anything. I kept looking through the Bible thinking, you know, what is he the Prince of? And the only one that is there is the Prince of Peace. And looking for Christmas cards yesterday, you know, I'm looking for ones which have got nice words, not be lucky or happy holidays or Merry Christmas or anything like that. It was peace and joy. Yeah. The word peace, I was really looking for cards which had the word peace in it. And something to do with keys. And that's exactly what Romans 5 at the beginning is all about. Because it talks about keys that we get because of being justified through Christ. So let me read. I'm going to read from the NIV. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Those five verses are absolutely loaded. And I'm loath to use the word benefits, but they are. In many, many ways, there's loads of benefits of being justified in God through Jesus Christ. We can't earn this justification. That justification comes. And as God reminded me the other day, Pete, you did nothing about this, really. You didn't earn it. And that was one of my key things, how I came to Christ. There were several things. One of them was, you can't earn this. I came from a performance-based industry in the bank, and I couldn't earn it. Suddenly I had this revelation, it's just, I have to just accept it. I just have to trust him. Pure and simple. And just by trusting in Jesus, trusting in him of what he's done, I get justified with God. Purely for the fact that I just said yes to Jesus and asked Jesus into my heart. And that is, it's interesting that if you read through Romans 1 to 4, Paul's whole thing is about being justified through faith. There's no other way to be justified other than through faith. Yeah. Can't earn it. Can't earn it. You just have to say yes to him. And that's just mind-blowing. In this day of complicated things, so much going on, it's just a simple yes to him, that simple surrender that says, Jesus, I trust you. I trust you. So we've been justified. In natural fact, Paul, as I said, through Romans 1 to 4, he's talking about being justified through faith. He makes a big case if you read it. And the last word, actually, in chapter 4 of Romans 4, it talks about a life of justification. It's not just that one-time event of being justified by saying yes to Jesus. It's a lifetime and a lifestyle of justified through Jesus Christ, justified to God. So we have been justified, as it says in verse 1. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's one thing that struck me as well when I was thinking about what to say and thinking that we were going to be taking communion. It's that peace. We've been made right with God. That's what that peace is. That peace is being, now we're right, we're no longer in enmity. People who have not given their life to Jesus, they're living in opposition to God. They may not sort of voice it that way, but that's what that is. What Jesus has done has made that way for us to become children of God. We're no longer enemies of God. That sounds quite harsh, doesn't it? That we're enemies of God. But that's what that says. This is talking about that peace. And that word peace is the word Irene or Irene, whichever way you want to say it in Greek. E-I-R-E-N-E. And it's translated here as peace. But when you look at the concordance, it talks about being set at one again. I like that phrase.
Because
you can say peace, but I've been set, I've been recalibrated back to the original stance, you know, who God created us to be. And we all obviously know the story of Adam and Eve, sin entering the world, and what Jesus did on the cross for us. He paid that price. He paid that price. Jesus got what we deserved.
Yeah.
So we could have what he deserved. But that peace, to be set at one again, refocused, reset. And as I said, that justification is not just a one-time event. I guess you can call it a one-time event, but it's like every moment of the day, we need to be able to stand and know that we have been justified in Christ. And it talks about standing further in the passage. And that word faith is pistis, which means complete trust, complete reliance, complete obedience to Christ. Complete, not partial, complete. So therefore, that links our justification and that righteousness to these benefits. I couldn't think of another word, but that sounds awful. It's like when you join a company. You get benefits, don't you? You get health cover, you can get... I mean, when I joined the bank, I didn't have a clue of what the benefits were. So as a sort of a 19-year-old, I just thought, oh, great, I've got a job, a fairly secure job in the bank. But then they said, well, this is what you get by being in the bank. You get a pension. Brilliant. Cheaper mortgages than people who weren't in banks had. And that was a fixed rate as well, so that was just really, really beneficial. And for me, as a sportsman, I loved it because I had a great social life, and football, cricket, whatever. It was all there for you, so if you wanted to be part of the local, I was part of the Brighton area football team, Sussex area, and then we used to go travelling around. We used to have days off work to go up to the northeast of England to play NatWest Northeast England.
Is that right?
That's how we did.
And it
used to go. Natural fact, NatWest had two fantastic sports grounds, one in Norbury and one in Lower Sydenham. And I tell you what, they were absolutely amazing. The facilities, it was like a bowling green. I used to play football on the weekend and it was like carved up pitches and the ball would be bobbling around. But on these pitches, well, they were just immaculate. They had fantastic tennis courts, brilliant cricket wickets, and a bar. And the bar was...
A bar?
A bar. And a bar. But the bar was dirt cheap. And,
wow.
So we had a few celebrations in there, back in the day. So all I'm trying to get a point is that through this justification, through our Lord Jesus Christ, There is the peace that we have to be set in peace. Yeah. But that's the one of the main key ones, I think, that we are in peace with God. We're no longer an enemy of God. We are at peace and one with Him. It's a change of status. It's not just to feel peace, to feel calm, but it's a change of status, a change of posture of our heart. We are a new creation. That's our new man, new woman, new person. That is our posture. The second one is standing secure and access. These keys, okay, you could take one of these keys, is because we've been justified, we have peace. The second one is that access to the kingdom of God. Let's read that. And through whom we have gained access by faith, again, through faith, into this grace in which we now stand. And I was re-listening to Jen's message last week, and it struck me that, and it's, what really struck me is a phrase that Jen said that, let me just get it, we need grace when we need grace. It made me think, and she made the case and the point that it's not a grace tank that we have, but God comes on us when we need grace for something. Now, for me, that word grace means the empowering presence of God to do something that we could not do in our own strength or even believe for something. And, you know, Bill Johnson's, one of his great one-liners is, you know, God's in us for, the Holy Spirit is in us for our sake, but he comes upon us for the world around us. And putting those two together has made me think that's exactly what grace is. When we need grace for something, when we have got no clue what to do, and we feel powerless, through that righteousness with Christ and through that faith, we can access that grace, his empowering presence. I think that's absolutely stunning. And as it says here, we're through access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. That's a declaration. Don't think that you stand outside. I'm standing on these bits of cardboard here. This really just stopped tripping over the wires. But this here, this is where I stand. This is grace right here. And this is our position as born again believers. We stand in the grace of God. We have that ability to just say, God, I need the grace for this situation. Whatever that might be. So we have access and we stand and we are stable and secure in that grace. Next key, let's just read on. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Here we go. This is probably one bit we just don't necessarily like, do we? This portion of scripture. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. There's a chain of events going on here. But verse 5 says this. Hope is the end of that chain. But it says in verse 5, and hope does not disappoint. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by Holy Spirit, who he has given to us. So the key in that is the love that he's poured out in our hearts. That which will give us strength to go through sufferings, whatever they may be. I mean, if we're honest, we don't like going through these painful things, do we?
No.
But it is a fallen world. It's not God's fault. God hasn't sent these things to teach us a lesson. And so there are desperate situations. There are desperate situations. But to have that hope, that biblical hope, it's not a hope where it's, oh, I hope it's dry this afternoon. I hope There's a car parking space for me. When?
always, thank you, Jesus.
But it's not that sort of, oh, it may. That hope is a joyful anticipation of good coming.
Yeah.
That's a very different hope. It's not a wishful thought. It's a certain expectation based on God's proven faithfulness, standing in that grace. So there's that purpose. Yeah. Natural fact, I wrote this down, that in those first five, that really is a guarantee from the Holy Spirit. Just centering back on that grace. I can remember times where I just thought, I don't know what to do here. I need your grace. I perhaps wouldn't have voiced it as that, but I think grace, at the time of grace, it could be a simple four-lettered word, help. Mm. And some people have preached on even that's the greatest four-letter word is help. I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. I haven't got a clue what to do. I need your help. I need your grace. And I think I've said this before, that when I joined the River Centre and being there in this great big building, and I've got no clue on really how all these big things worked in it, like great big air handling units and, you know, all the practical things. I'm not a great DIYer. I haven't got great knowledge about certain things. But I can tell you many situations where I was just walking around that building saying, yeah, I don't know what to do here. Even solutions with certain events, thinking, wow, that's just huge. I don't know whether we can do this. I don't know whether that's practical. And I can probably sit you down in that building where I sat and said to somebody, yeah, we can do that. I know exactly what to do. Or I'll come back to you. And literally walking around that building, praying that four-letter prayer, help. And that was grace. Him showing me something of how to work something which seemed impossible. And I think there have been other times in my life where I needed grace. So, let me just summarise. Through faith, through our complete trust and obedience in God, we become justified. We're right with God. That leads to this amazing sense of peace. Not just a quietness, but a real deep down sense of peace. That leads us into grace, and through that grace into the promise of hope. We need hope. We were talking to our eldest daughter the other week about hope. There's a situation, and we were just saying, well, this hope is not just some frivolous thing. It's not, maybe it might happen. That's fatalistic. We're not fatalists.
No.
That hope is sure and certain that something happened, something good happening. And I think our eldest daughter, we love her to bits, we love all our kids to bits, but she suddenly clicked, yes, there is this certainty about a certain situation. So without hope, I think we're adrift. Mm-hmm. We need biblical hope in our lives. Yeah. We don't understand what necessarily is going on. Sometimes there is this suffering, these things that we have to go through, which is tough, I know. And we don't have all the answers, but we do have one answer. We can have the grace of God to put our arm around somebody. Right. And if they're going through a difficult situation, we just want to walk with you. Yeah. We don't understand it. We don't know why, but we're with you. Yeah. And that is bringing biblical hope, I believe, to the world around us. Mm. We encounter that a lot at feast. where there's a lot of difficult situations. But our hope is that we're bringing biblical hope to that situation. And the beauty of it is, I know it happens in the church, but Feast itself is not a Christian charity, but it's got a Christian ethos.
Yeah.
And what we do at the start is we pray. At the start of every single feast, we will pray. And it's great. And we say, look, if you don't want to pray, that's fine. But we want to give this to God and give thanks to God. And if we need grace, we don't pray. There we go, that's grace pouring out right now.
Hello.
So.
She's on call.
She's on call.
Oh, well,
there we go. Grace for that situation for Emily, Father God. So all of this is because God has poured out his love and has poured out his spirit for us. So Lord, I just thank you for this amazing passage. I thank you for the keys that can bring us peace and access to your grace and your promise and your hope. So Lord, I pray in this particular season, whatever we're going through, that we can remain hopeful.
Yeah.
And that we can remain in that real sense of peace, and that we stand. That we stand now in that grace, that empowering presence that we need for certain situations.
Yes, Jesus.
And I pray this in your mighty name. Amen.